Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning. You are plugged into Long Island. This is Joe Rock for Long Island's only classic rock station, 102.3 WBAB, and Long Island's number one hit music station, 106.1 BLI. My guest this morning is Lee Westerlund, the Pipeline Public Awareness Liaison for National Grid. Good morning, Lee. How are you?
Good morning, and thanks for having us today.
It's my pleasure. So, new year 2017, what are the plans that National Grid has for the year?
So great. So this year, looking at 2017, we really continue to enhance the safety, reliability, and resiliency of our gas networks. It's really about building a stronger, modernized natural gas system and looking at replacement of our aging and older gas infrastructure. It's about expanding new transmission and distribution pipelines to serve a growing demand on the island and really looking to convert more customers to use natural gas. It's about driving an increase in pipeline safety and public awareness and looking at third-party damage prevention and outreach and education. And then some strengthening in our flood-prone areas. We saw as a result of Superstorm Sandy the damage that a storm surge could have on our customers and our infrastructure. So now we're making significant investments in those communities of North Shore, South Shore, and East End of Long Island.
There you go. So National Grid has new programs, and you're focusing on certain things. What is the focus now?
So right now, our focus is really on safety and the reliability of our gas system. And we have that commitment through significant investments and, again, growing our system and making some really major modern improvements to it. The results are evident through our improved reliability, an increased gas growth, and really just a really strong gas performance record.
Yeah. So now, with focus like that, what's the number one priority?
So the number one priority for National Grid above all else is safety. It's the safety of our employees, making sure that they return home every night safely. It's the safety of our customers as they use our product. And it's the safety of our communities where we have our infrastructure across the island.
Now, when we're talking about safety as the number one priority, and you're working to improve everything, make it safer, what are some of the projects that you're using to bring that about?
So right now, again, we're looking at an acceleration of what we call replacing leak-prone pipe. So this is gas pipe that is approaching its useful life. So we're now going back and replacing it with much more durable, reliable products. We're looking at new technology as far as robotics to actually put a robot into a gas main and seal it from inside without major disruption to communities. We're using much smaller excavations when we install new gas infrastructure. So some really exciting technology that we have out there. And again, this is to really improve the overall reliability and safety of the network.
That definitely has to make a huge difference. I mean, you talk about the difference between excavation. I'm sure that definitely makes the customers a lot happier.
Not only the customers, it certainly makes the towns and the municipalities happy. Although we have a great relationship with them, you know, usually paving and disruption to roadways is an issue. So, again, we're working hand in hand with them on that.
Yeah. So now, if people grew up here on the island, we've been through a few different companies who we dealt with over the decades and everything. National Grid, give us a little bit of background on you.
Sure. So National Grid Downstate is the gas company. So we provide natural gas to 1.2 million customers in New York City and 570,000 for Long Island. In a broader sense, we are a gas and electric utility upstate New York, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts. And then globally, we operate and deliver the gas and electricity in Great Britain. So again, Long Island, 570,000 customers, 8,000 miles of gas main, and about 2,000 employees that are dedicated to the operation of this business for Long Island.
Yeah, so that's a lot. I mean, you were also talking about, what was it you say, 570,000 homes here in Long Island. Was
correct.
That the number
so
that you gave?
Homes and businesses, and that number grows every year as we continue to bring new customers on.
Now, that's, you know, that's quite a bit of work that you're doing right here on Long Island with National Grid. Could you give us some of the background on that?
Sure. So, you know, you'll start to see that we're making significant investments in our gas infrastructure. And again, a lot of this is tied to replacing that older gas pipe. As we approach the year 2019, National Grid will have investments to the tune of about $3 billion in our New York City and Long Island gas business, and the replacement of close to 600 miles of brand new gas main. Again, all tied to resiliency, strengthening the system, and making it much more safer.
Yeah. Now, when you're doing this, you know, one of the things that everybody is always concerned about is they want everything to work. They want it to be reliable. And at the same time, you know, people want things done quickly, and they want this and they want that. But more importantly is they want it safe. So what is National Grid doing to make everything safe for the public and the service reliable?
Yeah, that's a great question. So National Grid continually tests, inspects, repairs, and makes improvements to our gas system. We work very closely with our industry and government agencies, the regulators, on a number of pipeline safety measures. We coordinate with our 811 call center. They're the ones that prevent damages and require markouts around excavation. Visual pipeline and gas meter inspection programs, workforce safety training. This is at every level. So whether you're a field-based employee or office-based, we constantly train our employees, again, all tied back to that safety culture. Sharing of industry best practices with our neighboring utilities. And then this is a big piece for us now is public education programs, school outreach, and partnering and training with our first responder community, and really developing a very robust public awareness and pipeline safety program.
Okay. Now, you know, obviously, safety, first priority, and there's a lot of great work, but from time to time, it's inescapable that emergencies may come up. Now, you mentioned reaching out and doing some work with first responders and stuff like that. What are some of the other agencies that you reach out to work with to not only be prepared for gas emergencies, but also to try and educate people to help try and prevent them?
So this is another important function that we do, and it's we conduct annual training drills, right, where we sit down with our emergency responders, emergency and elected officials, and really test our procedures in the event of a full-scale gas emergency. So where in years past this may have been just a tabletop exercise, we now do a full-blown field exercise, right? So we simulate a scenario where there's a gas incident. Our first responders respond as well. We engage local elected officials and municipalities. And again, it's for us to test our procedures working. How are our communications, logistics? And just as important, it gives the first responder community the opportunity to test their response in a gas emergency, because it would be very specific, right? And how do they interact with National Grid crews that are on scene? So these have been incredibly successful. We do one each year in every region, and we're probably going to go down a path of doing them more because we see an enormous benefit in partnering with our first responders on that. The next level of this is National Grid has developed pretty much an award-winning first responder e-learning program. This is 3.5 hours of an online certification program. So it's 7 modules that looks at our gas distribution system, the properties of natural gas, tactics and hazards responding to an emergency, carbon monoxide awareness, which we know is a big issue. So again, extensive amount of interaction with our first responder community, and it all ties back to our overall pipeline safety and public awareness program, where working with not only first responders, but our key stakeholders. So plumbers, excavators, towns, and hospitals, schools, and colleges as well.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the pipeline safety and the public awareness a little bit here. You mentioned that there, because one of the things I think that's very important in regards to this on the whole end of the safety is, without a doubt, the public awareness. One of the phrases that is now stuck in my head is, you know, call before you dig. You know, so let's talk about that and how that affects us.
Yep. So just a little bit on the pipeline safety. So, you know, we know as the gas utility that our public plays an important role, right? So we rely on them about engaging us if they see something or if they notice that there's damage on our system. So it's now about going back out to our communities, to our customers, to our government agencies, and really partnering with them on, hey, listen, if you smell something, call us. If you see something, if you're a plumber doing work at a house of a gas customer and something doesn't look right, call us. So it's really about education and engagement and creating that overall awareness. So we're seeing really good feedback from our stakeholders on this, and we'll start to see more and more, you know, communication around that overall smell gas, act fast is our messaging.
Yeah. So one of the things that jumps into my mind right now, somebody who's sitting here listening to the show this morning, and they're sitting at home, what are the things they need to be aware of? What are the things they're looking for, and what should they do if they recognize one of these things?
So we say three things, right? You recognize a gas leak by smell, sight, or sound, okay? And when we say smell, natural gas in its natural form is odorless. Utilities add a compound in there called mercaptan, which is a very pungent, rotten egg odor. And it's for a reason, so when you do smell it, you know what it is, right? So that would be the first sign. Sight, you may see a white cloud or a mist just above the ground. You may see some bubbling in a standing pond or a small pile of water. Dead vegetation is also a possible sign on your property. So those are two important things. And the third is sound. You may hear some hissing, some whistling, and in a larger leak, you would hear some roaring. So again, it's smell, sight, and sound. And again, if you smell gas, act fast. That's call natural National Grid at 1-800-490-0045. If you don't have that number handy, call 911.
Okay. So now a customer recognizes what they think is the smell of rotten eggs. They think they got it. What should they do aside from alerting you to be safe for themselves?
Okay. So if you're in your house and you smell natural gas, it is incredibly important to not touch any electrical switches, plugs, appliances. Don't smoke. Don't light a match.
I was going to say, probably don't light a cigarette to relax yourself.
None of that. So our here's our advice, period, right? You leave the area. You leave the house. Again, you call 911 or you call us at our emergency number. We'll respond. We have technicians that respond right away to gas leaks. It's an emergency that we treat very seriously. Let us come in, do an investigation. Typically what we find, it's a broken pipe or whatever the case is. We'll make a note. You give that to your contractor to make the repair. But again, it's the recommendation is leave the premise immediately and don't touch any electrical appliances, plugs, switches, phones, anything like that, because the slightest spark could set off an incident, and that's what we're ultimately trying to avoid here.
Okay, so now I have to ask this question because I'm going to be like, I'm going to be that guy who's at my house is like, I think I got a gas leak. And, you know, like at my house, I installed my dryer myself, gas dryer, gas in my house. And if I think I got a gas leak and I think it's coming from there, it's going to be my thought process. Like maybe I should go over and just try and turn it off at the pipe. Should the general public mess around with that, or should we just leave that to the professionals?
And this is a great question. So under no circumstances do we instruct our customers to touch any valves, any meters, any period. Just, you know, leave the premise, call us again. We have National Grid first responders out and about all the time. Let us respond. Let us make it safe. And we don't recommend, you know, the homeowner touching any of those.
All right. That's why I asked, because I'd be like, I'd be the guy that'd be like, what did you do that for? I'm like, I don't know. I thought I was helping, you know?
That's great.
So once again, if you're just joining us this morning, we are talking with Lee Westerlund. He is the Pipeline Public Awareness Liaison for National Grid. And, you know, one of the other things that people talk about a lot more these days, which probably better we're talking about it than we used to, is carbon monoxide incidents.
Right.
I know, you know, in my house, I've got the carbon monoxide detectors. They're there. We occasionally have had them go off. Luckily, they've always been false alarms and things like that. But, you know, with incidents like that, is this the same as it is with natural gas? I mean, what are we looking at with differences here?
So carbon monoxide is really produced when common fuels such as coal, oil, kerosene, and yes, natural gas burn in completely. It's an improper combustion process, right? So that byproduct then is dumped into a living space, which causes a very dangerous situation. Carbon monoxide is colorless, it's odorless, and it's tasteless. This is why we can't stress enough the use of carbon monoxide detection in the house. The symptoms are very flu-like. It's dizziness, it's sweating, it's heart palpitations. So if you're at home and you experience any kind of these symptoms, again, the recommendation and requirement is to leave the premise, get fresh air. In that case, call 911, right, to make sure there are no health-related issues. And then certainly call National Grid. Again, let us come in. We won't make the repair on the equipment, but we'll identify what's causing the incident. And winter months, typically, there is a spike because houses are buttoned up and furnaces and boilers are working, you know, a lot more. So the chances and the risk for carbon monoxide issues during the winter certainly spike. So, again, carbon monoxide detection in the house, incredibly important.
Okay, so we know about the detection. We know that you should have, you know, they're much like the fire alarms that you have in the house, and, you know, but what are some tips for prevention of carbon monoxide? Like, what can people do as far as that goes?
So very important, and regardless of whether your heating system is fueled by natural gas or oil, very important to have that equipment checked every year. And, you know, as we come into spring now with setting the clocks ahead, now's a good time to look at that stuff, right? So have your equipment checked. Have your chimney and flue checked. Sometimes you have birds make nests in there, or you could have a loose brick that causes an obstruction. That could directly contribute to dumping carbon monoxide back into the house. Any kind of space heaters, wood stoves, make sure that the ventilation chimneys on those are clear. Never use a gas range for heating purposes. Again, there's just not enough fresh air to accommodate that kind of fumes being pumped back into the house. And something that's really important we saw after Sandy was the use of backup generators, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, not so much in RA, but we have seen scenarios where backup generators, portable ones, were put inside. There is not enough fresh air in a house to accommodate that kind of combustion. And unfortunately, there were some very serious incidents. So never, ever use a backup generator indoors. And same thing with any kind of charcoal. That's all meant for outdoors. So yeah. I would say that those are some very important tips.
Okay. Now, you know, one of the things that you've spoken about is, you know, definitely with carbon monoxide, the fact that you have, you know, it being tasteless, odorless, colorless, and, you know, and the fact that you know, National Grid has to add in an odor to natural gas. Let's talk about detectors for a little bit. CO2 detectors first.
Yep.
Like, what should people be looking for? What are some tips you have in regards to that?
So again, regardless of the fuel you use to heat your home, you should have CO alarms on every floor of your house and outside of every living space. And if possible, and this we're starting to see more of this, have an electrician tie them all together. So if one goes off in the basement,
mm-hmm.
they all go off throughout the house. Very, okay. very important. Same thing with smoke detectors outside every bedroom and on every floor of the house. Very, very important. We're also looking right now, as a leader in the gas industry, we're piloting a program of residential methane detectors.
Mm-hmm.
So methane is the major component of natural gas. So these devices, very similar to smoke detectors and CO detectors. I have one in my house, again, as a pilot right now. So we have several hundred out in our community testing. So the goal is, and we're pretty close to getting to this goal, is that if you go to your local home improvement store, you can buy a smoke detector, a CO detector, and a residential methane detector. So what this will do in the event of a leak in your home or business will detect methane, alarm just like CO or fire, and alert you. So it's an additional level of safety. And again, we're pretty close to getting these rolled out. We're working with some of the large utilities in the country and some research and development organizations as well. So
okay.
exciting times on that.
All right. So, you know, one of the things you're talking about is you mentioned in the spring being a good time to check stuff, but also too, in the spring, people start to do home improvements and gardening and things outside. And, you know, I myself try to stay as far away from a shovel as possible. I'm just saying, but there are people who are out there for different reasons that are going to be digging. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Okay. So this, again, is probably one of the biggest areas of focus for our public awareness pipeline safety program. And it's really about the need for, regardless of the project, whether, you know, you're landscaping or planting or removing a tree, digging a whole fence post or mailbox, putting in a sprinkler system, installing a retaining wall or a driveway, it's the law. You have to call 811. There are so much underground utilities, water, electric, natural gas, that without calling, the risk is increased for the potential for somebody to hit this stuff. And while most of it is, you know, you nick it or you damage it, there is the potential there for a serious event to happen. And again, we cannot stress enough that the use of 811. Now, 811 is a national phone number, but every state has regional one-call centers. And again, if I'm a homeowner, we make a recommendation, right? You hire a contractor to put in a new fence. If you don't see markouts on your property or in the street, challenge the contractor to say, hey, did you call 811 to get a markout?
Yeah.
Because that one call, which is free, right, could save an impact to a community, and even on a larger event could save, you know, a significant injury. And just a quick stat. So it's projected that in 2017, 38 million people will dig on their property without calling 811.
Wow.
That coupled with 20 million miles of underground utilities, great risk for an incident. So again, we can't stress enough the importance of using 811.
And well, this question I have for you too, I think might be one of those things that might kind of tell people how important it is to call first. So say I ignore the law and I don't call 811 before I dig on my property and I just, for argument's sake, nick a gas line and it's leaking.
Yep.
Now you guys got to come and fix that.
Yep.
There's going to have to be excavation. There's going to have to be crews to come out to do it. Who's paying for that repair work?
So what's going to happen, right? So if it turns out to be where there was a no call, we call it a no call damage, there will be a bill for repair and response. And I could tell you, we've had on Long Island, we've had incidents where other utilities have damaged our service or our mains, and we've had outages to the tune of 200 customers. And unfortunately, this doesn't happen when it's 70 degrees out.
Mm-hmm.
This happens when it's 5 degrees out.
Right.
So the response and repair by the company is enormous. A tremendous amount of resources are allocated to it, and we do a full investigation. Because, one, we report this back to the Public Service Commission, and no call damages are very, very serious. So to your point, it's a free call. It's the law.
And you I figure it's got to be a lot better. I make the phone call and take the few minutes than I dig and I owe you a lot of money for the repair work later. I'm just saying, if you're listening, that's probably the way to go. So just once again, if you're just tuned in this morning, we're talking to Lee Westerlin, the Pipeline Public Awareness Liaison for National Grid. So one thing that a lot of people always want to ask about National Grid, so let's jump right in here. Let's talk about the bill for a little bit.
Sure.
What should customers know about billing and balanced billing?
Okay, another great question. And I would recommend for all customers to go to our website, which is nationalgridus.com. We spent a significant amount of time and effort revamping our customer-facing website, so incredibly easy to navigate. We have great information on there as far as saving energy, gas safety, converting to gas. But more importantly around the billing piece is balanced billing for our heating customers specifically. What it does is takes the 12 months of gas usage and spreads it out over 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
So where we see those spikes for winter heating bills, it flattens those out. So you know what your gas bill is going to be for the next 12 months. So extremely helpful when you're budgeting, you know, your household funds. Very helpful. But again, some really good information on the website. Customers could sign up right on nationalgridus.com for that.
There you go. So unfortunately, we're quickly running out of time here. There's just so many things to talk about. But you know what? There's a lot of people on the island who still have oil and would like to convert over to gas. Let's just, spring's a good time to do it. What are some of the benefits of being a gas customer instead of being an oil customer?
So just out of the gate, the number one fact is for every conversion from oil to gas, it's the equivalent of taking 15 cars off the road. So the benefits and impact to the environment are immediate. It's an incredibly versatile fuel. You could use it for heating, hot water, cooking, pool heaters, outdoor patio heaters, barbecues, fireplaces. No need for a storage tank. And unlike other fuels, you pay for what you use after you use it rather than beforehand and just filling up a tank. So a lot of benefits and incredibly affordable right now.
There you go. So once again, just my guest this morning has been Lee Westerlin, the Pipeline Public Awareness Liaison for National Grid. Thank you so much for coming out here this morning, Lee.
Thank you so much for having us.
And, definitely really appreciate a lot of good information about safety there. And just a website people could visit if they have any questions.
Sure. That's www.nationalgridus.com. And in the event of a gas emergency, it would be 1-800-490-0045.
All right, there you go. All right, thank you very much. Once again, you've been plugged into Long Island. This is Joe Rock for Long Island's only classic rock station, 102.3 WBAB, and Long Island's number one hit music station, 106.1 BLI.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.